the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Hello.
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 What a Gucci fam show we've had today. And you'll understand what that means in about 20 minutes.
Those Two Girls.
Morning.
Good morning, Thursday. I mean, Sarah.
Hello, Thursday.
And hello to you too, Liz.
Is that what Thursday sounds like?
Thursday sounds
like Thursday. That sounded boss.
Quite a Tuesday to me.
Thursday sounds like a twit.
What should we be doing on a Thursday?
That was Sarah.
You know what? Thursday, today, guys, is National Spend the Day with Your Crush. And Aaron, you have managed to do that times two.
Where's Kat from The Bachelor? Is she here?
Congratulations. Dreams are free, Aaron. Always here for you.
I mean, who makes up these stupid days? Is it just some loner who just wants to spend time with the girl in the corner office or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does this even mean, spend the day with your crush?
Well, it means today you should spend the day with your crush.
Yeah, but that means...
I think what Liz is saying is... We haven't had a crush for many years
I think
now.
That is what I'm saying. You know what, though? But what this suggests to me is that, like, are we trying to inspire people to make yourself known to your crush today?
Here's the thing, though.
What?
I'd be paranoid. Anyone who's around me at any stage, I'm like, uh-oh, she's into me. It's the day.
Oh, my God. Are you wanting to spend the day with me?
That kind of arrogance. We're like, everyone falls in love with me. I'll just give them enough time.
Sarah, remember you told me... Remember that time you told me that one of the guys in the office probably... You were pretty sure that you were like wife material in his eyes, that he would try and find a woman like you, that you just had that gut feeling?
Don't talk about Aaron like that. That was an off-air conversation.
Wow. What a Thursday. Happy International.
But hello to Peter if you're listening.
We don't have a Peter.
You know,
she's taken Peter. I'm sorry.
You know, Liz, why do you and your family have to be so cool? Because I suffer the consequences in my own family life with my children.
What's happened? I feel like something's triggered this. I haven't done anything. I'm just here living my cool life. Well, don't hate on me.
It is 11 days until Halloween.
Oh, okay? My goodness, it is too.
It has crept up on us again that time of year. Now, any new listeners may not know that I do not partake in Halloween, okay? I'm not for it. I'm not down with it. It's not an Aussie thing. It's an Irish and American thing for the Northern Hemisphere where it makes a little bit more sense, okay?
And I've been telling
you. All the chain stores are coming on board as a quick way to make a buck. The only people I'm happy about for Halloween in Australia are pumpkin farmers, okay? That's it. But the idea of taking my children into my neighbourhood and knocking on their doors and letting them say in their little American dream, can we have some candy? No, you bloody can't.
None of that. Are you done? None of that needs to happen. I have told you that your years are counted because your poor daughters, your adorable, fun-loving children need to experience this and let them do it with me
because I don't let my kids say candy. Because... My 8-year-old has started, Mum, can we go trick-or-treating this year? And I've said, no.
Oh, my God,
No, we don't do that. But, Mum, please, can we go trick-or-treating?
Of course
it is. Do you think we could just maybe go with Lise this year? Lise and her boys. I've said, they live an hour away from us, and I see Lise enough. Why do you want to then go? Well, because Lise lets us do things, and if she was our mother, that would be more fun. That's what they've said to me.
I mean, the child speaks the truth, but I'll take them. I've told you I'll take them trick-or-treating. Also, we don't live an hour away, Sarah.
No, I exaggerated
that
for her.
We live 40 minutes away on a bad drive.
But, okay, will you take my girls trick-or-treating?
I'm taking your girls, but I'm not taking you because you're going to sulk and pout and wreck it for everyone. So either you either put a smile on your face, get dressed up as something that'll make you happy for once.
Maleficent,
whatever you want to do. Either come and be happy or stay home.
I'll just sit in the car, but can you bring me back some lollies?
No, this is not how it works. And it's not called lollies, it's
candy. I want
some candy.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
It might be wishful thinking for scientists, slow claps all around, who are suggesting that we need to reprogram our attitudes towards bugs. because the more they study bugs, the more they realise we should potentially be eating insects.
Oh, yes, we've heard this before, Sarah.
As a way of sustainable protein.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman got on that bandwagon. Remember that weird video when she's like, you can hear her crunching on like scarabs and, it's called, grasshoppers and
I
stuff.
I believe it's pronounced entomophagy, and that is eating insects. But basically, we've all been raised nowadays to fear them, to think they're gross, to think they're disgusting. And apparently, it's not the case, and we should be crunching down on some cockies.
Well, this is
some.
This is not nothing. This is nothing new to me because I've been
entomophagizing.
I've been entomophagizing since 1982.
I mean, if there was anyone in my life who was going to have nibbled
experience with entomophagy
on an insect, it would be you.
Okay, so my preferred insect of choice back in the 80s was the humble rhinoceros beetle.
It's weird that you were eating insects when you were 32.
Shut up, Aaron. I was 2 years old and I was quite a disturbed child. Turns out it was a severe lack of magnesium, but that's a whole other story.
Wait.
One day my mother found me. I was a nasty little piece of work.
What's changed?
And I was, I think 2.5 or 3. And she looked at me and she said, "You've got something in your mouth." And I went, mm-mm. And then I opened my mouth and inside my mouth, Sarah, was a giant rhinoceros beetle with its claws hooked over my bottom lip. And when I opened my mouth slowly and death stared my mother, the beetle, my assistant in evil works, looked at her also and went,
"Aww." I mean, if that shouldn't be the basis for some kind of Harry Potter character, I don't know what
And my poor mother, to this day, she said it was the most horrific sight. She quickly put her hands in my tiny little mouth, ripped out the rhinoceros beetle, cried to my father, tears, rivers of tears, going, "What is wrong with this child?" That was also,
She's like, "Doesn't she like my purees?"
I believe that was also a week after I'd hidden behind a kitchen door. My eldest sister had gone to kindergarten and I was jealous. So jealous that I thought at 2.5 years of age, I remember this, hid behind the kitchen door when she came back home from kindy, held a broom, and as my beautiful older sister skipped through the door, happy as Larry, I bashed her over the head with the broom.
This is what I'm dealing with on a daily basis.
And that, combined with the rhinoceros beetle or the entomophagy, my mother took me to a specialist and she said, "I think my child's possessed."
I think any scientist listening to this has just thrown entomophagy out the window.
I wasn't possessed, Sarah. The doctor said there's nothing wrong with this child. She's very bright. She's very bored. She also is severely deficient in magnesium. And a magnesium deficiency in children will result in a dark character.
That sounds fake.
It sounds completely woo.
It's not. Sarah, she took me into a dress shop. Do you know what dress I wanted? A black dress. Everything was black and morbid and dark.
Like your dark toddler heart.
Mum
as black
me.
As a rhinoceros beetle hissing between two-year-old molars.
She fed me trailers of magnesium and now I am a bright and cheery
Maybe
human.
Maybe it was the bloody insect that started it all. Liz, you know how we often talk about being work wives?
Yeah.
Well, now there's... Please, don't sound so enthused, all right? We're in some kind of quasi-de facto relationship that we can't escape from. But here's the thing. There's been a new study out that says close relationships at work can lead to increased productivity, help manage stress and prevent burnout, and that having a work bestie...
Yeah.
A personal friendship with a coworker in a professional space actually mirrors the characteristics of a healthy marriage, just without the romance part.
Cool.
I would believe that.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look, I probably spend more time with you than I do with my own spouse, Dane.
Yes. I enjoy that time.
I
more
do too.
I'm kidding. Wills is a great guy. He really is. But work bestie is where it's at.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing, right? you just have different conversations and different jokes with your work besties, don't you?
Yeah.
Different. Like you can adore your partner or your husband or your wife or whatever, whoever.
Yeah.
But you just have a different vibe.
But sometimes with work besties, they're just of that era, of that time in that workplace, and then people move on. Like when a bestie gets another opportunity.
What's that rhyme? They move on. A friend for a reason, a season, a lifetime, or a...
What?
You don't you know that one. What is that, Sarah?
Page, a chapter.
No, that's not it at all. It's a season. Look
at it. A reason or a season.
A reason or a season, a lifetime or a, what is it? Reason. Hold on, I'm Googling. Can you ask Siri? Reason, season, lifetime.
I'm looking for a new work bestie.
I've got it. People come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, you will know what to do for each person. When someone in your life is for a reason.
Still going.
What, this is not right. This isn't what I'm after.
This is a bloody chapter.
Maybe it's just reason, season, lifetime.
Those two girls.
There isn't a fourth bit. Sorry.
Those two girls.
Sarah, you've been banging on about running again, and I feel like I have to entertain it a little bit to feign interest. So you're going on about something about
life when someone gets a new athletic hobby.
No, you know what it is that when you get a hobby, and people out there listening will relate, when you there's always that person in your life that gets a hobby and decides to coin a catchphrase around it, and that's precisely what you've done. Like instead of just saying I'm back onto my running, I'm really enjoying it, I think I might do a marathon, Sarah comes out and goes 40 before 40 because you're turning 40 next year and I don't know which came first, the rhyme or the need to run. Are you driven
by? I'm not
sure
either, but I would like to run a marathon before I turn 40.
So 40 okay? before 40. 40 before 40. Do you want me to make you a shirt?
Hashtag owned it. But what I've realised is getting back into running is hard yakka, okay? It's hard to get that level of fitness. And the people that really irritate me when I'm trying to become a better version of myself are the people who do it really easily.
Yeah, some people are natural,
who can just run. And I think the best example of that is when you're watching a fun run or a marathon and they're dressed up as characters or they're just doing some silly buggers activity that's like the ultimate
Yeah, they wear tutus
to the unfit
and,
people like me who are dressed head
costumes.
To toe in workout lycra that makes absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Yeah, they're the novelty runners that still run like professionals.
So you can imagine my annoyance when I read about a man who has finished a half marathon while skipping to break
like with a
the
rope
Guinness
or
World
like
Record.
Skipping like skipping, a child.
Skipping like a child.
Ooh, that's got to be bad.
And do you know, he has done it faster than any half marathon I ever did. He has broken the record 2 hours, 13 minutes and 41 seconds while skipping. That is an intense skip pace. He also has more than 100 Guinness World Records to his name, including the world's longest tortilla throw, which is annoying because when I turned 41, I was going to do tortillas before 41. And now
that doesn't even tortillas before.
Well, you just left me hanging, and I had
you
to keep
off saying like I was going to eat like burgers, like buns before 41 or something. That doesn't even rhyme.
Tortillas
either.
Before 30 would have worked better.
Why?
But isn't it tortilla, not tortilla?
The T and the T.
No,
is what I'm going
the,
for.
Oh, 30.
We have to go.
That was shocking. Yesterday was my little boy's birthday, Sarah. Little Maxie turned 6, my youngest son. And, of course, because of our work hours and our radio show, I wasn't there in the morning when he woke up. That's all right, though. My husband, Dane, was there and his big brother, Remy. Now, my eldest son, Remy, is like the third parent in our family. He's 4.5 years older than his baby brother. And he had the presence of mind, as the eldest son, to send me a little video of Maxie receiving his first birthday present of the day. We've bought him a proper scooter, like not a kiddie scooter, a proper one that he's been fanging over for yonks. And so Remy's taken the little video and sent it to me yesterday. Now, you and I opened the video text message and we watched it together, didn't we? I'm going to play it for our listeners now. I mean, it, you know, it starts off good, but then it gets confusing to me.
Can you do a jump? Oh, that's so good, kid. Kid, that's Gucci fam.
Okay, so...
What?
He says, that's so good, kid. Kid, that's Gucci fam.
Kid, that's Gucci fam.
Okay, I mean, firstly, the fact he's calling him kid when he himself is a kid is a very alpha male.
Well, it is, and I've told you, he's the third parent, isn't he? And he takes that very seriously.
But Gucci fam.
Gucci fam. Now, I am semi-familiar with the young person's vernacular of the word Gucci. I'll read it out to you here, Sarah, what it means. Gucci is no longer only the name of a luxury Italian fashion brand. According to Urban Dictionary, it is defined as something that is good, chill, cool, awesome. The meaning derived from Gucci, the label, because Gucci is for the rich and ballin'. Therefore, he is good, cool, and just pimpin'. Okay,
right.
So he's saying to his little brother, "This is awesome. That's so Gucci." But Gucci fam.
But that's fine for young people. But you know, what if someone like me can't afford Gucci? Could it be like, "Oh, that's witchery fam"?
What's with the fam, Aaron? Can you help a lady out?
Hey, bro.
Is it like the bro? That's Gucci.
That's Gucci,
fam.
Bro.
Oh,
that's cool, bro.
Thank God we have you in our
Gucci fam.
Yes, that is so Gucci
fam.
Fam.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
I just want to take us back a little bit.
Okay.
Skipping the marathon.
Do you know how hard that would be on your hips
how
and your pelvic?
How do you skip? I don't think I'd remember.
It's bounce on two bounces on one leg that leads into, oh my God, Aaron, no, that's not it, that's prancing.
genuinely. I would not remember how to skip.
Okay, Sarah.
Okay.
I can't skip on my bad foot, but I'm going to do it. Go. Okay. It's you start, you do two, mm-hmm. one, two, and two.
Oh, I see.
So really, he is damn. No, Aaron, you can't go from foot to foot like a leprechaun.
No, but okay, how do you skip?
So it's two bounces on one leg.
Oh, so you do. It's just a bit. It's a bouncy walk.
A half marathon.
But
like
Sarah, imagine the impact on the pelvic floor. Double bounce per hip.
Yeah. Well,
repeated.
I read that he did 141 miles in skipping to train for it. So that's about, what is it? 2.2 miles. No, that's pounds to kilos. 1.6 miles to 1 kilometre. Do the math.
I never know. God, I just wish the world would get on the same bloody page.
Let's call it.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Good to see you both.
Oh, soz.
All right, bye Gucci fam.
Bye Gucci fam.
Tickety boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls Catch Up. But you can score even more catch ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.